Come on, let's lift it up. Come on, let's just lift it up. Let's lift it up before the Lord. Forever glorified, forever lifted up. Everybody close your eyes right now. Father, I just thank you. Your word says, tell my people their warfare is over. Isaiah the prophet said, 700 years before Jesus even came on the earth, tell my people that her battle is over, her warfare is over. There's people here this morning that have a lot of stress, anxiety, worry, heaviness, whatever it is. I speak in Jesus' name that your battle is over. The battle is the Lord's. And the Spirit of God lifts and intervenes in every circumstance, every situation right now. So just whatever it is, just give it over to the Lord and let him be glorified over every circumstance in your life. Because in this house, it's a house of peace. In this house, it's a house of joy. Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as man anyone can give, but only I can give. And Father, we thank you this day that no enemy, no circumstance is going to take the joy of the Lord out of this house. We just thank you for every individual in your anointing, Lord God, for the breakthrough of what you're going to accomplish even this day. And Lord, we lift you high. We lift you high. Come on, just lift him up high above every situation that you're looking and working at. In Jesus' name, and we just commit it all to you, Lord God. And when we go through those doors here, Lord God, in the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to go out in the victory, Lord God. Having the victory because you've already done it for us this day, Lord God. You did it 2,000 years ago, and we just declare you do it again today. And we give you praise for it, Father. One more time. Come on, let's lift it up before the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn to two or three people. Give them a high five. Tell them it's already done. God bless you, man. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. Pastor Brian, it's already done, man. The victory is already done. It is yours. It is ours. I don't know about you, but in this house, there is a lot of good things happening. Amen. Well, as you heard, Pastor David, I believe he's finished by now, Kathy. Yeah, it's 2 hours difference in Oklahoma. So bring the man of God home safe in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, so as you heard, we got a life group meeting right afterwards. If you're interested in what we're doing in our small groups, head down to the NPR room. We have a meeting right after this service here around 1 o'clock. We got pizza and coffee. Do those go together, Joe? No. Also, we got water baptism. Listen, if you've never been water baptism's right after this service, Pastor John. On the patio. Listen, if you've never been water baptized, you can be baptized today. I don't care if you have a towel or not. Just run around the parking lot afterwards. You'll get dry. It'll be good. How many know it's a blessing to get baptized? Amen? So listen, if you know people who have never been baptized, tell them to come. Pastor John and their team will take care of them, and that'll be blessed. Hey, men, barbecue. Did you see that? This August 30th. Go out and get all the information. Tri-tip, chicken. What else? Giveaways. We're going to have a good time. So make sure you get signed up for that. So as we get started, everybody get your notes and get ready in the cafe. We're going to kick off here the last session of the Closer series. So Pastor David and Pastor Jordan kicked it off about 6 weeks ago, this whole discussion of Closer. How many have been blessed by this whole topic of Closer? Closer to the Lord, closer to each other, closer in marriage, working through agreement, things that keep us apart. And so this whole subject, how many know that this is such a needed subject? Because society today, especially the Bay Area, is separating people. And there's a pseudo-closeness. We see it through multimedia, et cetera, but in social media. But there's a work of the Spirit of God that wants to bring us together and cause us to grow together and live together in community. Amen? So, but there's one topic we need to discuss here, and that is the discussion of closer to the lost. Closer to those people that are out there today that don't know Jesus Christ. You see, we live in a community here where there are thousands of people today that want what you have. Go ahead, Gary, and we're going to go to the next slide, and we'll get started here. But if you look around and you understand what's going on here, we're in a community here where there are people every day looking for opportunities to come to know the Lord. And a lot of them are crying out. And just think for a moment about the time when you came to Christ. February 8th, Tom, 1976, around 12:30 in the afternoon, I needed Jesus Christ in my life. I couldn't explain it. There was a big old gaping hole, but I prayed this prayer and Christ came into my life, and it's never been the same since. Anybody else got a testimony like that where you know that, hey, you needed Christ and all of a sudden you prayed this prayer or somebody explained it to you? You may not have been theologically, you know, educated in a lot of the different areas of the Bible, but you know something was needed, right, Micah? And so you gave your heart to Christ. And I tell you, there are thousands of people right now in the Bay Area that are asking the same question. Who can I talk to about God? Is there anybody I can get close to hear the story again of what Jesus came to do? So that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. Is that okay? So get your notes and or a piece of paper or whatever and write down a name of a person that you know that does not know Jesus Christ. Go ahead. On your notes, right at the top, wherever. It could be one name. It could be a whole long list of names. But we have some work to do today regarding reaching out and being closer towards those that are around us. So write that name down, and then we'll come back to that person here in a few minutes. Now, surveys show that if you ask a typical church how many people really want to see people come to Christ, most everybody would agree. Let's do that here this morning. How many people here really want to see people come to Jesus Christ? Look around. You can wait. Everybody raises their hand, right? But at the same time, a lot of times people will go, you know what? I really don't know how to do that. And so this message this morning may be a very simple message. This is nothing profound in the sense of, you know, depth of theology, but yet what I'm going to share with you this morning, pay attention, because the Spirit of God is doing something around the world with what I'm going to share this morning. Basic fundamental principles. How many know Jesus is simple? I mean, it's very simple. But what I'm going to share this morning, I mean, I was in a church down in South America, over 300,000 people doing what we're going to talk about here this morning. I was in another church in India, Mumbai. Today, the church is over 90,000 doing the same thing. You guys know Steve Merle. He's been here in the past. His church is over 90,000 members in the Philippines, and he's doing the same thing we're going to talk about here this morning. You say, Pastor Chris, are you interested in numbers? Absolutely. Not when I live in an area where there's 2 or 3 million people here and most of them don't know Jesus Christ. Am I interested in numbers? You better believe we are. Jesus is. That's why he gave his heart for them. And so that's why we want to delve into this subject, even though it may be rather simple, because catch this, Gateway. If we do what Jesus is sharing with us here, we're not going to have enough room in this building. We're not going to have enough room here. We're going to have to bust out the walls over in the warehouse next door and plant more campuses. That's what the whole 10-city vision is about, because I'm telling you, people want to know who Jesus Christ is, and they want to know, how do I get to know him? So here's what we're going to do. Look at your notes there. I'm going to start off with a story of how Jesus came closer to an individual. It's called The Story at the Well. He talked to a woman, and there's some underlying principles there I'm just going to touch on briefly here, but here's the deal. Jesus is going up north to Galilee. He stops in Sychar, this little town. He asks his disciples to go into the town to buy some food. And so then Jesus, while they're away, Jesus goes to the well in John chapter 4. You know the story if you've read it. And he's sitting there and he engages a discussion with this other lady. And he asks for some water, and they begin to discuss about worship, etc. One thing leads to the other, where he gives her prophetic insight. He tells her her life story, and then he shares with her that he's the Messiah. And she's like blown away. She runs into the town, and she says, come hear a man that told me everything about my life. And Kurt, he ends up staying 2 days in that one little village there, sharing about the kingdom of God. And many people begin to follow Christ because of one engagement of Christ coming closer to another individual. Okay? Everybody say closer. God wants us to get to draw close to those that know Christ. So the underlying principle here, if you go to the next verse, or I'm going to read this here. Here's what happens. The disciples come back from the town and they buy some food, and they come up to Jesus and they see him talking with this lady. And so Jesus turns and he says to the guys, they offer him some food. Jesus says to them, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy avails the planter and the harvester alike. So there was a shift going on here where the guys were talking about food, and Jesus said, guys, come on, let's have a change in priorities here. Because he had just got through talking with this lady here, and he was wanting to cause a shift, if you will, in his guys, his disciples, their thinking in regards to how what they're looking at. He says, guys, look at the fields. They're already ripe. And here's Peter going, John, I don't see any fields. What are you talking about, Jesus? And so what he wants to do with us today is the same type of thing where he says, guys, look at the Bay Area. Look around us here. This is the harvest. It's available. It's out there. And so when we talk about closer, this is why we wanted to close with this subject here. We draw close to the Lord. We draw close to one another. And we're going to draw close to what Jesus has for us in the harvest field. So here, go ahead, Gary, to the next slide up there. This is the principle here. Jesus Christ drew close to you and gave you new life. Now he wants us to share his life with others. Profound, huh? Jesus said for us to wake up and to look around. So in your notes, there's four basic principles we're going to talk about here this morning. And the very first one here, number one, is look around. Jesus said, look around, guys. Wake up and look around. He wanted to get them to get their vision above their current circumstance and above their current surroundings. He wanted them to have a vision beyond of where they were currently living. In fact, the principle is this. Let's look at your screen here. Where has God, this is the question, where has God placed you within our community? And number two, what is your assignment? See, Jesus had assignments that he wanted to fulfill in his own life, and he was wanting to draw the disciples along with him. He knew he was here for another reason, okay? And this is the same question here. Jesus said, guys, wake up and look around, okay? And the question is this, is what is your assignment within our community? Why are you here? See, it's not just by circumstance that we're living in Sunnyvale and San Jose and Milpitas, et cetera, in the year 2018 in Silicon Valley, et cetera. That's not just circumstance, friend. You have a God-ordained assignment. You have a God-ordained a set of people God has set in front of you to reach. And so when Jesus says, get up and look around, you see, there's a shift in our mind and in our thinking as to how we look at life. Think about your neighborhood right now. Think about, you know, the people that are around you at your work. Think about when you go through a mall or a restaurant or whatever. Look around and just look around. My wife and I, we love to do this. We'll go to a mall, we'll go shopping or whatever, and we just look around and we look at the people and we ask ourselves, Lord, who can we share with? Who are the ones that are interested in knowing about Jesus Christ, etc.? Because you see, we're here on assignment. And the best way I could describe it is this guy named Brother Yun, a Chinese pastor who was arrested and put in prison. I think he was in prison for 8 or 10, 12 years, something like that, in China. And when he was arrested, Pastor John, he was put into a maximum security prison. No running water, no toilets. It was not a five-star prison like San Quentin or whatever. It was bad news. And his job every day was to carry the pails of the waste, human waste, of the prisoners. He carried them one by one down to the river, dumped them, etc., for hours, John, every day. That was his job. And for 2 or 3 months, he mumbled and he groaned and he complained, God, I'm a pastor. I shouldn't be here. What am I doing here? This is so demeaning, et cetera, et cetera. And after 2 or 3 months, he got quiet and he heard the Spirit of God tell him, I put you here on assignment. And it's like a light bulb went off. Bam. He got it. Okay, so the next day, he picks up the pails and started walking the same trail, etc., with all the human waste, etc., and he began to worship God. He began to thank God. He began to rejoice. And the warden of the prison saw him and had a difficult time with his exuberance, and so he began to put hardened criminals into his cell with their assignment to beat him up, and they did. But one by one, he led them to the Lord. And over time, he began to lead all these hardened criminals to the Lord. And then over time, 3 or 4 or 5 months later on, the warden had a nephew that became deathly ill. And they brought in Brother Yun. He prayed for the young guy. He got healed. In fact, they had to get Brother Yun out of that prison because he was having a revival right there in that prison, all because he saw there was a shift in his thinking regarding his assignment. You see, some of you people here, you don't like your job. You say, God, get me out of here. No, no, no. Could it be you're on assignment there? What about your neighborhood? What about your relatives, your the places where you hang out, etc.? How many know that it could be that you're on assignment, okay? So the very first thing that we do is we begin to look around, okay? Look around. Everybody say, look around. Look around. And so Jesus says, guys, I want you to look up and look around here because there's something going on. The Spirit of God is orchestrating, Micah, just people's lives so that we can bring them into the kingdom of God. And this is something that's just a prevalent principle. In fact, there was a lady that used to come here, the Gallagher's, Chet and Joanne, remember the Gallagher's? Years ago, this is about 20 years ago. So here's Joanne Gallagher. She got a job as a receptionist here in San Jose. And the very first couple days, whatever she found out, there were about 5 witches at this place where she worked. She was the receptionist, okay? And there's 5, and I'm talking hardcore. I mean, ball cap, t-shirt, the whole thing, right? And they tried to get her fired. They ridiculed her. They tried to poison her, etc. So Joanne, if that's not correct, if you see the video, let me know. But anyway, the bottom line is this. She goes home after the first week, Kathy. And she begins, God, get me out of here. What am I doing here? And Jesus says, I put you there. Gulp. I want you to pray for them. She began to pray for them. And over a period of time, she led 2 or 3 of them to the Lord. The other 2 got fired and had just a massive turnaround in that office. All because she woke up and she looked around. Everybody say, look around. So think about where you're at. Think about what God has done, what he wants to do. Number 2, after we look around, we look up. We look up. And here's the statement here is we look up by drawing close to God in prayer for those around us. So the second thing we do is we look up to God in prayer, intercessory prayer. How many here know this morning the intercessory prayer for the lost is the key to opening up the windows of heaven and pulling down darkness over people's lives? Amen? How many know that as you intercede, the Holy Spirit is released to begin working in people's lives? You may not see it. You know, Uncle Harry may be just as ornery and nasty as whatever, but when you begin to pray, God begins to work behind the scenes. Amen? Look at this. Look at this verse here, Psalm 2:8. Jesus says, or it says in Psalms, if you ask me, I will give you the nations. All the people on the earth will be yours. Let's read that out loud together, real slow. Ready? If you ask me, I will give you. If you ask me, Jesus said, whoa. If you ask me, I'll give you San Jose. If you ask me, Micah, I will give you the hearts of young college people. Danny, you guys ready for this? If you ask me, Jesus said, if you ask me. See, here's an invitation from the courts of heaven. And Jesus, I mean, I could just see his heart just because this is why he came. And he's saying to Gateway prophetically, guys, if you ask me, I'll do something that'll just blow your minds in San Jose because I got people out there that want to know. I want to get into their lives. And I'm looking for somebody who will stand in the gap for them. If you ask me, I will give you your neighborhood, your workplace, if you ask me. So that's why look it up. And then look around. Look around and look up. Backwards. Also, number 2, the quickest way to touch the heart of Christ is to pray for those he died for. 2 Peter 3:9, he does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their hearts and lives. Pastor Greta is our campus pastor up in Santa Rosa. And so we were talking about a couple of months ago, this principle that in our small groups, our life groups, all of our ministries here, we add the element of intercessory prayer for the lost. So we get together, we have our Bible studies, but at the end, we pray for those that don't know Christ. So she had written down Greg, her son. Just like you guys wrote down names, she wrote down Greg, her son. And she didn't call him, she didn't talk to him, she didn't email him, but they begin to intercede in prayer. And about a month later, here comes Greg walking through the door, unannounced, wanting to come and give his heart back to Christ. And Greta says it was nothing on her part other than intercessory prayer. How many know that as you begin to intercede for your family members, God's at working? And how many know that as you begin to intercede for your neighborhood, God begins to work? And so we look around, we look up, and the third thing we do is we look forward. We look forward. After we look around, look up, now we look forward to God's divine appointments. Jesus said, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to me. So here's the question, Gateway. Do we really believe that as we look around and look up, that God will set up divine appointments for us to connect with people that don't know him? Because you see what's going to happen here, and this has happened. I mean, we don't have time to go through all the different testimonies here this morning, but it's just like when we begin to pray and intercede, quite often people come to us and start asking us about Christ. We don't have to bust the doors down or anything, because I'm telling you, people are looking for answers, and prayer is the gateway to open up the doors to that. And so what happens many times is that as you begin to pray, God will set up opportunities for connection, for people to come into a relationship, communication, et cetera, et cetera. And there's all kinds of different ways. One of the primary ways that we've seen successful, and this is very simple, is we just offer to pray for people. In fact, one of the largest churches in Japan today was established by a Korean woman pastor riding an elevator just wanting to pray with people. And you see, what we can do is tomorrow we can go out and we can look around for needs in our community here and just offer to pray for people, looking for that opportunity to connect. And you'd be surprised how easy it is. Now, I didn't put this on the screen here, but something you might want to just write this down, whatever. It's amazing the amount of tools that are available today to be able to connect with people. So write this down, God Tools. It's an app on my phone. In fact, did you know Jesus made these phones here, mobile phones, for evangelism, for outreach? That's why we're connecting. Mobile phone is one of the greatest ways to connect. And I got an app on my phone called God Tools. And so you're going to be praying for people. You're going to be looking around. And one of the things that you can do is you go to, like you see here, they got a couple of ladies going to Starbucks or wherever. We connect with people and we share Christ. God Tools is one of the simplest apps there is to be able to share Christ. We also have this little booklet called Why Jesus. If you want a copy of this, go see Pastor Kathy at the counter afterwards. I think we still got a stack of these. Do we got some of these, Pastor Brad? We'll get these tools. There's all kinds of tools where you can sit down with people and begin to share Christ, because their hearts are going to be opened up. Amen? And so we look around, we look up, and we look forward. One of the stories that I love, and I've shared this before, so bear with me with whomever I've shared this with, but we had a young man, Jonathan, came to the Bible study one time, and he comes up to me, and he's crying, and he says, I'm quitting my job. I go, why? He says, because they're making fun of me. He says, as his vice president, he was ridiculing me, trying to get me fired, mocking me and lying about me. And I said, Jonathan, no. We don't quit because of that. If God told you to go to another job, then do that. But we don't quit because we're being mocked. I said, here's what you need to do. In fact, you can write this down on your notes here, because some of us need to do this as well. I said, tomorrow, Jonathan, when you go into your company here, you walk in and you declare that Jesus is Lord over that business, over the people in that business. Did you guys know you can do that? Did you know you have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ? Because you've been raised up and seated with him, and all authority has been given to him. And you can drive through San Jose and say, Jesus is Lord here. And you have that right, and you have that prerogative. In fact, we need to do that. In fact, let's just say that right now. Jesus is Lord over San Jose, over my neighborhood, over my business. And now, this stays in this room here, but I've done that. I've done that in front of Intel Corporation. I've done that in front of Google. I've done that in front of Yahoo, where I just drive up. I love doing it. Just will drive up, point my finger at the corporate office. Jesus is Lord. Over the people, he bought the people that live there, or the work there, yeah, live there too. But I mean, people that are there. Did you know you can do this? So Jonathan, number one, you go in and you declare Jesus is Lord. Number two, you take authority over the spiritual climate of that place. You take authority over the confusion and over the bitterness and over the animosity. You have that right to pull it down in Jesus' name. Engage in warfare. Number three, go look for somebody to share Christ with. Look for opportunities, because you're clearing the atmosphere. You're looking forward to believing God to create an opportunity to be able to share. Okay, so here's what happened. Jonathan comes back to me 2 weeks later. He says, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, try me. He said that he walked in and did exactly what I said. And then within 2 weeks, well, the very same next day, all the ridicule, the mocking, the criticism stopped from this other gentleman. And another vice president comes up to him and says, hey, did you notice this other guy? He's not trying to get you fired anymore. I wonder what happened. Jonathan said, I prayed for him. This other vice president said, you pray for people? He said, yep. He goes, can you pray for me? And you see what happened. And within that two-week time frame, he not only got a promotion, he got a $10,000 raise, and he led three people to Christ. Now, see, that's, I believe we can do that again. Amen. That's happened many, many times. I wish we had more time. I got tons of stories. You want to hear something cool? Intel Corporation. I love going into Intel. We used to do a lot of stuff there with the whatever. And there's a number of people we saw come to the Lord just by doing what we're doing here, looking around, praying, and looking for opportunities. Anyway, I got to hurry along here. But, I mean, it's amazing to see what God does. So do that. Jesus is the Lord over your neighborhood. Jesus is the light. Take authority over the darkness and begin to look around. Amen? Last number four, look after. Look after. We look around, we look up, we look forward, and then lastly, we look after. We need to care for and look after those who are interested in Christ and want to know him. You see, my wife and I, we've got six kids. They're all in their 30s and 20s. We got married when we were 7 and 8 years old. That's, anyway. And we got 10 grandkids. I got 9 grandsons and 1 little granddaughter. So I'm taking an offering at the end for the food bill. I thought it was going to be less, Kathy, but it goes up. So anyway, but we wouldn't have thought twice about leaving the child at the hospital, if you will. We had to bring them home. We had to start raising them up. We needed to clean the diapers. We had to do all the work, Pastor Carol, that is required to raise people, to take care of people here. How many know people are going to come in the door, and they're going to be brand new people? And somebody needs to take care of them, right? This is why we look around, we look up in prayer, we look forward to connection, and then we look afterwards. We take care of them. So I had a leader years ago. His name was Mike. Mike usually sat kind of like in this vicinity here. And Mike came early one time and started walking down the aisle. And this other gentleman came in. Esteban was his name. Esteban came up, and Mike walks up to him. And he says, is this your first time here? Yes, it is. Well, let me tell you about the church, or if I could pray for you. Well, yeah, I do need prayer. He says, I've never been to a church in my life. My wife just left me, and I just got fired from my job. I think I need God. And Mike led him to the Lord before service started, okay? And then Mike brought him down the aisle and had him sit next to him during the service. And then Mike brought him to his home group, and Mike began to care for him. And then Mike began to take Esteban through all the foundation classes, et cetera, et cetera. And he began to pray for him. And then after about a 6 or 8 month period, Esteban was leading a small group. And Esteban was the same guy that now is out there caring for the people that are brand new as well. You see, there is a continuum of grace that goes into a person's life to see that they're grounded in Christ. That's why we see here in Galatians 4, Paul says, oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your life. His passion was not only to see people come to Christ, but that they would become fully mature in Christ and grow in Christ. You see, that's what our desire here is that gateway to see people come in, and then to help them grow, and to help them to be fruitful. So we had this guy years ago named John, and John was a heroin crack addict, and he got strung out pretty bad. He got fired from his job, divorced, lost his home, lost his car, was living under a bridge, and he came to one of our meetings, something like the Cleansing Stream meetings, etc., and he received Christ and got a measure of prayer, measure of breakthrough. So what I did, Ron, is I asked Leroy, one of my leaders, I said, hey, could you follow up and connect with John? And he said, sure, got it. So about a week later, I called Leroy. I said, hey, how's John doing? Well, I don't know. I called him. He didn't return my call. I don't know if he's interested. kind of a half-hearted answer. So I said, Leroy, come on, dude. The guy strung out, heroin, crack, cocaine, lost his job, lost his family, lost da-da-da, lives under a bridge. I said, the Bible says to encourage one another daily. Hebrews chapter 3. I want you to call him and connect with him every day. Don't you think that's extreme? I said, brother, Jesus gave his heart for this guy. Go get him. Care for him. Bring him in. And so about 2 months later, I saw John walking down the hallway, and I put my arm around him. I said, hey, dude, how's it going? He says, you know what? Man, I was bad. I was in a bad situation. But then Leroy started calling me 1, 2, 3, 4 times a day. We visited. He began to pray with me. He said, I got my job back. I got my house back. I got my wife back. I got my health back. I'm free from drugs, etc. All because somebody stepped into his life and cared for him afterwards. Am I making sense this morning? Does anybody hear what I'm saying? See, that's the heartbeat of Christ. That's the heartbeat of Christ, to be able to see people come to him and then cared for and then to continue to grow with him. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're almost finished this morning. Put up the screen there on the prayer. We're going to pray this prayer here. What I want you to do is interject that person's name that you wrote down, or names, in the blank spaces here. So let me tell you what's going to happen. As we say this simple prayer, my friends, do not minimize the power of intercessory prayer. Jesus said, if anybody asks anything in my name, I'm going to do it, okay? And so here, let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to pray this simple prayer. And as soon as we say amen, you remember what Psalm says? If you ask me, I will. Okay? How many believe that this morning? How many believe that when we say this prayer, the Holy Spirit's going to begin working in that person's life? How many believe here this morning when we pray that we can engage in spiritual warfare and darkness is eradicated from that person's life and that circumstances begin working to see that person come to Christ? How many believe that this morning? I should see every hand, every foot, every amen. Because this is what's going to happen. Let's pray this prayer. Ready? Dear Lord, this day I commit to pray for that he or she would come to know you. I commit today to look around, look up, and look forward to getting closer to that they too would experience a transformed life in you. Thank you for touching my brother Nelson. By your Holy Spirit, I pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's give it up to the Lord this morning, friends. So there it is. I mean, very simple principles. But I'm telling you, what I shared with you, this in various versions of it, is rocking the world because people are engaging in prayer. People are engaging with the lost. And Jesus sees that. And in fact, that's one of the quickest ways to get his attention, is to begin looking for the lost. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I just thank you for every person in this room here. I remember a time when I was at a meeting, Lord, when I did not know you. I wanted to. I didn't know how. And there's people here this morning here that you want to know God. You want to know Jesus Christ. You got questions. You may not know how. You got a lot of stuff that you're working through. But I want to pray with you this morning here. And I want to ask you for a show of hands here on a count of three. How many here would say, yes, I need Jesus Christ in my life. I need to come to know him. I need to give my life over to him. I need answers to prayer, because here's what's going to happen. When we pray that prayer, God's going to do a transforming work in your life. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door, I'm going to come in. He's going to answer prayers. He's going to begin to fill your heart with his peace and his joy. On a count of three, if anybody here needs that kind of prayer, I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. There's hands going up everywhere here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hands here. In fact, there's more people here this morning. Go ahead. I remember a time when I was in a meeting, somebody said, raise your hand. I didn't have the courage to do so. I didn't want to seem out of place. I didn't want to be embarrassed, but we're not going to embarrass you. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. And Lord, I just know there's more here. Raise your hand if you say, I need God in my life. I need to know Jesus as my Lord. I need to know that I'm saved, that I have eternal life. There's some more hands going up right now. And I just really thank God. Spirit of God, come on, let's just all pray. Keep praying for the people around you. You never know who you're sitting next to that is close, so close to saying yes to Jesus Christ. And I just thank you right now, Spirit of God, for drawing people to you. Jesus, you said if we lift you up, you would draw. So we thank you for the drawing this morning. There's more hands going up. Thank you, Father, for every person having the courage to make that decision this day in Jesus' name. Friend, we had at least 10 hands go up here. Let's give it up to the Lord and thank God for those people that are making that decision today. So here, listen. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. Everybody, look at me here. Everybody, if you didn't raise your hand, but just say, you know what? I still have some questions. There's a card in front of you on the seat pocket of the chair, that green card. Pull it out. Fill it out and say, I want to know more about Christ. Follow Christ. I want to know more about Gateway. Because our passion is to help you come to know Christ and walk with him and find out all that he has available for you. So drop that in the offering basket as it comes by in a few minutes. Or go to the Welcome Center over here across the hallway here. We have some information for all those that want to know Christ, some tools and things like that that can help you walk. We want to get connected with you. We want to help you grow in Christ. Amen. Ushers, come forward here. We're going to receive the offering. If you made that decision, fill out that card, drop that in the offering basket as it comes by. But Lord, this morning, we thank you for the opportunity to give in this offering. We thank you for what Pastor Chip shared earlier, Lord God, that everything we have, everything, Lord God, is yours. And we want to just bless everybody here for their giving, those that are giving online, and we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen? Go ahead.
Tongues of fire, testifying of the sun. One desire, Spirit come, speak revival, prophesy like it is time. One desire, Spirit.
Come on, let's worship.
Oh, tongues of fire, testifying of the sun, one desire. Spirit come, speak revival. Prophesy like it is done. Let your love run over. Hear it now.
That's it.
Let your glory fill this house. Pour it out. Let your love run over. Hear it now.
Come on.
Pour it out. Let your love run over. Hear it now. Let your glory fill this house. Pour it out. Let your love run over.
Amen. Listen, we have our prayer teams up in the front. If you need prayer for yourself or you want to come into agreement with anybody else or even the name of that person, that you wrote down this morning. Come on up here. I have a quick announcement here. Many of you know Bill Dunn. He passed away last week. We have a memorial service this Friday at 11 o'clock. So come pay your respects to Bill, the family. And that'll be a blessing. Then we got water baptism here real soon. We got life group meeting at 1 o'clock. Got a lot of stuff going on. Father, thank you for this day. In everything we do, Lord God, we want to lift up our eyes and look around and see what you're doing in our neighborhood, see what you're doing in our families, see what you're doing. Lord God, and this day we know that when we walk through the doors, we're going to walk out into the mission field wanting to complete what you have started. We're here on assignment, Lord. And we just thank you for the opportunity to be a vessel of your kingdom. Bless every person in this house. Let there be strength. Let there be joy. Let there be, Lord, the comfort of your spirit. And Lord, until we meet again, Lord God, let you be the glory and the lifter of our heads and all that we do. And we give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. God bless.